ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So Hare Krishna. I'm going to be speaking on Vishnu Sahasranama. Hindus in South India especially are familiar with Vishnu Sahasranama. It used to be very common that Vishnu Sahasranama was chanted, and then it became common that the cassette was played, Lakshmi Subramaniam chanting Vishnu Sahasranam, and now it's not very common at all, unfortunately. Anyway, let us discuss. Discussing the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, means to discuss about his, the names describe his glories, his pastimes, his qualities, his devotees. One, 4, 105. It's not going to be in here, is it? Okay. I can't find what I'm looking for. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So, a name, 634, is Bhushaya. Bhushaya. Have you heard that name before? Bhushaya? Anyone heard the name? If you've heard Vishnu Sahasranam, you've heard it. Otherwise, it's not a very common name, is it? Common names of Krishna: Vishnu, Narayana, Madhava, Govinda, Gopal, Mukunda, Madhusudana, Madhava. These are common names. But in the Vishnu Sahasranam, we have many names which are not very common. But it's not difficult to understand. The word Bhu means the earth, Bhumi. And Shaya means one who lies down on or sleeps on, Shayana. Oh, one request. Please don't take photos during the talk. If you want, you can take afterwards. But please, you can offer me some dakshina, which means give me your ears. Please listen. For that purpose also, please put off your cell phone so there's not a disturbance. So Bhushaya means who lies on the earth. So let's have some discussion about that. Many people lie on the earth. It was the normal thing that people used to lie on the floor to rest in India. Now it's become more common to have beds. In Japan, even though it's a developed country, it's still the norm to lie down on the floor, on a mat, to rest. At least it was when I was there about 10 years ago. Probably still is, because they're so crammed into their little houses, they don't have space for beds anyway, hardly. So it means he who lies down. Parashara Bhatta is the first Sri Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranama. And his relatives, his descendants are still there in Sri Rangam. His house is there. They still perform the services that he performed. He was the astrologer to Ranganatha Swami. And so his descendants up to the present day first time, early in the morning they go and they tell what are the different times of day for auspicious activities and what is the day according to the traditional calendar, and like this. So it's still going on. So these last few names he has been explaining in terms of the Archa Vigraha, the form of the Lord who is worshipped. Just like I see in this house, there's traditional worship of Srinivas, Balaji, Govinda, Tirumala, Tirupati. So that's a form of the Lord, Archa Vigraha, worship of a form of the Lord. There's another discussion going on there. So the last few names he's been saying, Sarvatashchakshuhu, all eyes, you could say. So he explains as meaning that the Lord is so merciful, even though one of his names here in Vishnu Sahasranam is Adhokshaja, he's beyond the ability of our eyes to see, but in the deity form he makes himself available to everyone. Everyone can see him in the form of the deity. Then the next name after that was Anisha, which means he who is not the controller. As the deity of the Lord, he puts himself under the care of the devotees. So they dress him and feed him, and he becomes as if he is their son. Then Shashvata Stiraha, even though he appears to be just some form of stone or wood, he is eternally the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhushaya, you can understand, especially here in South India, more in Tamil Nadu, you'll find so many deities, they're lying down. Isn't it? Sri Rangam, Ranganatha Swami, is the most famous, and there are many who are lying down. So he lies on the earth. But another way to take that is that Parashara Bhatta, he explains that the devotees, they install him on this earth and he stays there. He stays fixed on this earth because the devotees, they call him to this earth. There are different kinds of deity forms of the Lord. Some of them are Swayambhu. They simply appear by their own desire. They just come. There's no history. They just come by themselves. And they're all manifested as if from the earth. And especially, again, your Srinivas, he manifested from the earth. And he's staying there on the earth. Then, another meaning, another meaning is that he stays where his devotees want him to be. He just like someone who's lying down. He's lying there, he's on the earth. We may think, well, he belongs to Vaikuntha, and this earth is very low. But that's his mercy that he comes here. But in another sense, the earth is very exalted also. One of the names already discussed in Vishnu Sahasranam is Bhuhu. He himself is the earth. But he's better known as Bhupati, the Lord of the earth, and especially as Varaha Devi, Varaha Avatar. His wife is Bhumi Devi. And Bhu Shakti is one of the Shaktis of the Lord. The famous Shakti, Shri, Bhu, Nila, Leela, especially these three are very famous. Shri is the most famous of his Shaktis, and then Bhu is number two famous. And then there's Nila, Leela, Pravi, there are so many different Shaktis. So Bhu Shakti, she appears with Krishna as... anyone? Satyabhama. Satyabhama. So he lies on Satyabhama, or he lies with her. She's his wife. So that's another intimate meaning. Also, we find in Ramayana that Lord Rama, who as a prince was accustomed to lying on very palatial beds, when he went to the forest, he lied down in the area presided by Guha. He lay on the earth. And Lakshman and Guha spent all night lamenting how this great prince, he was supposed to be the king, and now he's lying on the earth. And they were very upset. They couldn't sleep all night. In fact, Lakshman didn't sleep for years because he was simply guarding Sita and Ram, who lay on the earth. Then again, particularly that said, on the way to Lanka, he lay down on the earth. He was waiting. When will the ocean come? So he was lying down on the earth there. Then another meaning is that he lies in every one of his creations. He's the Antaryami. I've heard the name Antaryami. So when we think of Antaryami, what do we think? We think of the Lord in our heart, isn't it? In your heart, sarva-bhuta-ashaya-sthitaha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I mean, in the heart of every living being. Because when we say heart, we think of some boom-boom, 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 some organ. But heart is also used in another way, right? You say someone, he's got a soft heart, or he has no heart. Soft heart, hard heart, and worst, no heart. There's no heart. There's a joke Srila Prabhupada told in this connection, which has got nothing to do with Bhushaya, but everyone likes a joke, and Srila Prabhupada told it. So I'll tell it also. When they're opening the Punjab National Bank branch at ISKCON Vrindavan. So maybe it was the bank manager told the joke. So one man was going to have a heart transplant, and he was asked, "Do you want the heart of a architect, an engineer, or a banker?" We have three options. So he said, "I'll take the heart of a banker, bank manager." So he said, "Why do you want the heart of a banker?" He said, "Because I know it's never been used." So there you go. I got a license to tell a joke. So heart sarva bhuta ashaya. That's also asha. In the Vedic literature, we find a discussion of it's not exactly the heart, but it's a mystic region. Hridesha juna tishtati. Ishvara, he is within the hridesha, the area of the heart of every living being. There is the akash, hridakash. Within the heart there is some akash, some sky, and one has to see the Lord within the heart. So Antaryami means he's inside, he enters inside. But there's also the Antaryami, Antaryami means Paramatma Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures. There is the form of the Lord Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. He lives on the Kshira Udaka and he's Shai. He's lying in the ocean of milk. But there's another, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Is another Antaryami. He's the Antaryami of the whole universe. So he entered, just like the Lord is in our heart, and as long as he's there, we can stay there and the body can function. Because after all, the body is just chemicals, right? Elaborately organized chemicals. But because he is there with the jiva, therefore it works. How does it work? When you eat your food, how does it digest? Maybe you learn in biology class how it digests, if you remember from your biology class. But why does it work like that? How is it that the organs, the glands, they release the digestive juices? We don't do it. If we had to every time, okay, breathe in, breathe out, be a difficult job to keep a track of all the things. Nails are growing, hair is growing. Krishna within the heart makes it possible. It's too complex for us to know everything that's going on. Krishna does it. So the same way, Krishna, as Garbhodakshay Vishnu, he enters the whole universe. And the same way that he makes our body work, he makes the whole universe work. All the different planets, they're all moving. How is it going on? Krishna, from within, is regulating, and particularly within the earth. Gama vishyacha bhutani dharayami hamojasa pushnami choshati sarva somo bhutvarasatmakaha. Krishna says, Gama Vishya, I enter within the earth. How does the earth stay in orbit? You can say it's gravity. There are a lot of problems with gravitational theory. You may know if you have some side interest in what they call science. A lot of problems with gravitational theory, because for it to work, there should be a lot more matter in the universe than is observed. So if you can't find it, there's another thing you can do, you can make it up. So the scientists have invented dark matter, which means you can't see it, touch it, taste it, smell it, or feel it, but it must be there, otherwise our theories don't work. Doesn't sound very scientific to me, but I'm not a scientist. So anyway, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Gama Visha, he enters into the earth and keeps it in orbit. There you go, there's the answer. It's Krishna. So Krishna as Antaryami, he enters into the earth, he enters into all the planets, enters into the universe. So in this way he's Bhushaya, he's there, inside everything, keeping it all going on. That's how everything's running on in the world, because there is God, whose name is Vishnu, Krishna. You can explain it scientifically if you like, but not fully or perfectly. The real answer is Krishna. And another meaning is that the earth rests in him. He rests inside the earth and keeps it going, and the earth is resting inside his energy. And especially at the time of, there is also the Garbhodakshay Vishnu, who is the Antaryami of each universe, but there are many universes. They're all called Brahmanda, and they all emanate from the body of Karna Dakshay Vishnu, also known as Mahavishnu. So all the universes rest in him, and especially when he breathes out, then from the pores of his hairs come all the universes in seed form, and when he breathes in, they go back in. So the earth rests inside him during the time of pralayam. So this is another meaning of the name Bhushaya. Also, Krishna, we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, and especially from Srimad Bhagavatam, that although he's the Supreme Person, he likes to play like an ordinary boy or an ordinary child. And so sometimes he's fighting with his friends in the forest of Vrindavan. And what happens when he gets tired? He gets tired? God gets tired? Yeah, he gets tired also. That's his leela, his fun. So That's described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Kvachit palavatalpeshu niyuddha shrama karshitaha vriksha mulashraya shete gopod sango pabarhanaha. So when he becomes tired after fighting, then sometimes he lies down in the forest of Vrindavan. He lies down at the root of a tree, or sometimes he puts his head on the lap of a cowherd boyfriend and he goes to sleep. So there he's also lying on the earth in Vrindavan, being tired after fighting. Now, although it's not mentioned here, there are also some very intimate pastimes of the Supreme Lord as he lies on the earth. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he dances ecstatically, and sometimes he just falls on the ground and lies on the ground, and his body becomes covered with dust. So in this way he's also Bhushaya. He's lying on the ground there. And his mother, Shatimata, who is Yashoda, just as Krishna, he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so Yashoda comes as Shatimata, and she becomes very distraught on seeing him lying on the ground and falling on the ground, and she's afraid he'll become hurt. So she prays to Narayana, "You please protect. I've worshipped you all my life, so if you're pleased with me, please, when he falls on the ground, let him not have any pain." She doesn't know that he is Narayana, and he's enjoying his pastimes. Now, very intimate. is that Krishna, he enjoys pastimes in the forest of Vrindavan with Srimati Radharani. And it's lovers' pastimes. Whatever you might have seen in the movies, loving affairs between young boys and young girls, it's all a perverted reflection of the pastimes of love of Radha and Krishna. Perverted reflection because the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, they are ananda chinmaya rasa. I think you can all understand these words. Ananda chinmaya rasa. They're difficult to translate into English. Ananda is fairly easy. Chinmaya, you can say spiritual. So spiritual bliss and rasa, there's no real translation. But anyway, you can understand it from your own language, unless it's Polish or English. Then you're stuck. So it's all ananda chinmaya rasa. But here in this material world, it's a perverted reflection. So in this material world, the love affairs, they may seem to be full of ananda, but ultimately it comes to nirananda. Ultimately it comes to distress. And chinmaya, it's not chinmaya. It's mayamaya. It's full of illusion. And rasa, yeah, there's some rasa there, but it's, again, it's vikrita. It's changed. It's not the real pure thing. So the real bliss of spiritual rasa, that is in Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna. But that may sometimes appear to be distress also. Just like Ram Leela, it seems to be distress. It's all pretty nice up until Dasharath decides to coronate Ram. And after that, it's all distress. Isn't it? All the way through. But it's all bliss, because in material world, whatever seems to be happy is unhappy, ultimately. And whatever in the spiritual world seems to be unhappy, it's all bliss. So, and a good understanding of this is that people like to hear Ramayana again and again and again. So if it's all sad, then why, if it makes us unhappy, then why should we like to hear? Because it's all spiritual bliss. So, having given that little background, Radha and Krishna enjoy pastimes of love. And a lot of the pastimes is bringing them together. The different friends of Radha and Krishna, they try to bring them together. But there seem to be many difficulties. And sometimes, out of transcendental love, then Radha will even reject Krishna. And it's probably in the movies. I haven't been to a movie for I don't know how many years, but it's probably there. Because it's a standard story that a boy and a girl are in love, but then she doesn't want to see him. And he becomes very distraught. She's angry, and he becomes very distraught. So, Krishna, remember Krishna is the origin of everything. So when he gets the news that Radha doesn't want to see him, what does he do? He falls down on the ground, Bhushaya. And his flute, which is, he'll keep it with him all the time, but it's just scattered on the floor, his hair is scattered, his clothes are scattered. No one can say, no one can comfort him. Totally distraught, he's lying on the ground. So normally, it's not here in the Vishnu Sahasranam commentary, but I'm just thinking like that. It's a very intimate topic to hear about Krishna like this. Okay, the next name of Vishnu Sahasranama is, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, one more, in the Gambhira also, he would lie on the floor lamenting that he couldn't find Krishna. Very intimate pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's described. So the next name is a well-known name. It's a well-known word, it's not known as a name. Bhushana. Well, it is known as a name, just like Kamala Bhushana, Padma Bhushana, but Bhushana by itself is not so well. So you all know what it means. I think some of you may be dealing in that as a business also, is it? Abharan, Abhushan. Your family, that was the family line, huh? Dealing in jewelry. It basically means ornaments. Ornaments. And Krishna's ornaments in Vrindavan are twigs. He's the Supreme Lord, but he has little flowers that grow here and there. But the point here is that his name is Bhushana. In other words, he is the decoration. The jewelry and different things, what people they put this kajal, shurma, this mehendi, all this. Because it's supposed to make you look better, nicer, more attractive. And all this ornaments, and there are so many names. The ladies must know all the names. There are different kinds of necklaces and so many different kinds of earrings. There are ones that hang down, one that goes in the ears, one that goes like this, something like that. Goes like this. What's that called? Chandra something? You know, I read it in the description of Radha. She has something. There's one that goes like this on the ear. And they're all different. Armlets and so many different things. And around the waist. So many different kinds of ornaments. But Krishna himself, what does the name Krishna mean? All attractive. So we may dress Krishna, that's the deity, we dress Krishna in Vrindavan, his mother dresses him, the young boys come and dress him in the forest. He goes to the forest and then again the gopis decorate him. But whatever he is decorated with, he gives the quality of attractiveness to that. So he is actually the ornament. And it's not that the ornaments make Krishna look more beautiful, but he makes the ornaments look beautiful. So if you have ornaments, you can think, oh, that's Krishna. There's a quality of Krishna there. How is it looking attractive? Because anything which is attractive means it's got some quality of Krishna. That is there in the Gita, right? Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam evava tatta deva vagachatvam mama tejongsa sambhavam. Whatever in this world is attractive, in any way, there are different kinds of ways for being attractive. If someone is very powerful, they're attractive. If someone is very learned, they're attractive. If someone is very wealthy, they're attractive. But that attraction, that potency of attraction, originally comes from Krishna. So, all the different... He is Bhushan, he has got Shringar, he has got Alankar, he has got ornaments, that's the word. He's ornamented, but he is the ornament, and especially we can say he is Sri Bhushan, he is the ornament. What makes her look very nice? Lakshmi or Radha or Sita, what makes her look very nice? We worship, of course many people, they worship Lakshmi without Vishnu, without Narayan, but that's not, she doesn't like that. She always wants to be with Narayana. She doesn't feel very happy unless she's with her husband. So Sita Ram, she's not happy unless she's with... So the Bhushana, the decoration of Sita is Rama. So in that way he's also Bhushana, his decoration. He also ornaments this world. He decorates the whole world by coming here. What could be a better decoration for the world? You can make a nice park and a nice garden. May try and make it look nice, but the real decoration for the world, who is also Bhudevi, so her husband is Narayana, and he decorates her. He decorates the earth by coming here. He makes the earth auspicious by coming here. And indeed, every living being, he makes them attractive by letting them live. Again, the antaryami is within the heart. This body here, is not very attractive. It might have been somewhat attractive maybe 40 years ago. Now it's a getting old body. But it will lose any kind of attractiveness when the soul leaves, when it dies. You're looking at me, means it's not repulsive, but a dead body you don't like to look at. Why is that? What is the body after all? It's skin, yeah, and bones, and blood, and liver, and kidneys, and stool, and urine, and pus, and all kinds of things. Intrinsically, it's not very attractive. But what makes it look attractive? Because the jiva is there. And how can the jiva live within the body? Because the antaryami is there, Krishna. He makes the... What is the interaction? How can the jiva interact with the matter of the body? Because antaryami is there. So, that Bhushan, he makes every body, the decoration of every body is Krishna within the heart. This is how the acharyas explain this. Also, he makes the world beautiful, whatever beauty is there in the world. You won't find much beauty in Bangalore. I'm talking about the, you see the beautiful rivers and valleys and forests, you won't see in Bangalore. There might, it was, used to be a garden city. But now all, there's so many lakes in this city and they're all polluted. Miserable, isn't it? How can people be so callous to spoil this earth, which is after all given by Krishna? But there is beauty in nature. Whatever beauty is, because Krishna is there, he decorates the earth. Whatever beauty, whatever is beautiful anywhere, that is him, that is a representation of Krishna. And not only humans, the life, but you see dogs and cats and what makes them alive, whatever attraction is there, is because he is present. He is the decoration of the body, or that which makes it attractive. Now, Parashara Bhatta, the Sri Vaishnava commentator, he says that the most important bhushana or ornament of the Lord is that he makes himself available to his devotees. That his great quality, his kindness to his devotees. He is decorated with all great qualities, but his, and they're all attractive. All the qualities of the Lord are attractive. His beauty, his power, his knowledge, it's very attractive. If someone can memorize Bhagavad Gita, that's quite a quality, isn't it? And if they can explain all the verses, that's a great quality. And we become impressed. But then the very speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, then how much great is his knowledge and his transcendental realization? So if we find Krishna, if we examine him, we'll find whatever qualities we find in any human being, we'll find more in Krishna. He's the source of all qualities. But his highest quality, the most attractive thing, the thing which attracts him, just like you may see a lady is very beautifully dressed with a nice sari, very attractive sari, and hair nicely. There used to be so many hairstyles in South India, with Tanjore and like this and different things. And may have different jewelry, especially for the weddings. I don't know, within a few years that blue jeans might be standard at weddings, the way the culture's going down. Or maybe shorts for the girl. I don't know, it's just anything's possible. But especially for the wedding, they very nicely decorate. So if you try to think, what is the most attractive? Is it the necklace, or one of the necklaces, or the earrings, or the hair, or the mehendi? Or, so what's the most attractive decoration of Krishna? What's the thing that's most attractive? And the devotees, from the devotees' point of view, Parashara Bhatta, he says, his most important for us here who are stuck in this material world, is that he makes himself easily available to his devotees. His saulabhya. Even though we are not worthy of his mercy and his kindness. Tasyaham sulabhang partha. How does that verse begin? Ananyas chintama. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityashaha. Tasyaham sulabhang partha nitya yoktasya yoginaha. Krishna says to anyone who thinks of me always, ananya cheta sa yomang smarti nityashaha. Again he says, ananya cheta satatam, without deviating to anything else, satatam, one who always thinks of me, yomam smarati nityashaha, which is the same. The first line and the second line more or less says the same thing, but in different words. Tasyaham, For such a person, I, Krishna says, Sulabha Partha. You're one of them, Partha. You always think of me, don't you? So I'm available to you. I'm driving your chariot. See? I'm driving your chariot. I'm easily approachable to you. Tasyam Sulabha Partha Nitya. And again, Nitya. He says again. The whole point is one is always absorbed in Nitya Yuktasya Yoginha. When always absorbed in thought of him, then he becomes very easily available. In fact, not only is he easily available, but he becomes captured by the devotee, by the love of the devotee. So this is his greatest quality of being a bhushan. One of the commentators has given a list of some of his prominent qualities. He's very beautiful to see. Krishna is very beautiful, is it not? Very beautiful. Not all the gods worshipped in Hinduism are very beautiful, is it? There's also, what is that, Mumukshabi Gaura Rupam, that mentions in Bhagavatam. Kali, Bhadra Kali. She's powerful, but not beautiful. So, most beautiful, see, he's eternal, he's full, Purnam, Om Purnam Adaha Purnamidam. Devoid of any faults, sweet smelling, smells very nice also, Krishna. Very soft to the touch, just like butter. Splendorous means Jyotirmai, Ujvala. He's very bright to see, very. Then he has so many ornaments, such as he has his mukut, his helmet, or a crown, so many ornaments on the head, ear ornaments, necklaces, neck ornaments, garlands of flowers, Vaijayanti Mala, it's most famous. Then on his shoulder he has some bracelets on the hands, he has the Srivatsa and the Kostuba, pearl garlands on his waist, and around his different clothings, but still, despite all the very nicely decorated, so that's the meaning of bhushana. But his greatest bhushana is his kindness to his devotees. Just see how nice he is. Okay, what else? Yeah, especially Baladev Vidyabhushan. He states that because he's a Gaurya Vaishnava commentator, he likes to see Krishna in Vrindavan. So for all these ornaments, he likes to see what are the nice flowers of Vrindavan that he's decorated with. So what are the famous flowers of Vrindavan? They mostly grow here also. They're mentioned in some verses of Bhagavatam. Kadamba is very famous. Yeah. Rose? No. Came later. Jasmine, we can say. That's a very wide genus. What flower does Krishna like best of all? Anyone? Lotus. Lotus is very famous. No doubt. Champa, Kadamba, all going on. Maligai, what are they? There's Mogra. Maligai, that's Tamil. Vaijayanti, that's the garland. Huh? Malika, that's the Sanskrit name. Yeah. Okay, something beginning with T. Tulasi. You all forgot. You don't usually think of Tulsi as a flower, do we? But there's Tulsi leaves. But there's Tulsi flowers also. He likes that also. All different flowers. Tulsi Manjari. Manjari means the flower, yeah. All right, so I spoke something about Krishna being the... Well, what were the two names? Who can say? Just like in the school, the teacher asks, Bhushaya, Bhushaya, what does Bhushaya mean? Who lies down on the earth. Can you imagine God lying down on the earth? And Bhushana, Bhushana Bhushanangam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it's stated that his very body is the ornament of all ornaments. So if you like, you can keep a locket with Krishna, picture of Krishna. And you can also decorate your tongue. You ever heard of that? There's decorations for the head, for the ear. I got something on my ears. Then you can have something on the, in the Western countries, they put some studs in the lips. And you can have nose rings. Goes from the nose to the ear, right? That used to be common for the women, like this. Nowadays you don't see it at all. And you can have decorations for the wrist. What about for the tongue? Decoration for the tongue. Anyone? We started the class with this. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's the best decoration for the tongue. Otherwise, we tend to pollute the tongue with all kinds of blah, 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 blah. Gapshap, it's called in Hindi. What do you call it in Canada? Harete. Harede. Harede. Harete. 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 Ta. Ta. Harete. 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 Not harete. The two A's, right? I learned in Canada. Harete. Okay. So, in every language, there's some word. Gramya Kata. So, better chant Hare Krishna. Or discuss Krishna. Now your ears are all decorated by hearing about Krishna. So that you can decorate your eyes also by reading books about Krishna. You like to speak about that? Oh, you don't need a mic. You got a loud enough voice. So, a question. Okay, the question. Satyabhama. Yeah. She is Bhushakti.
Temperament of Bhumi is to be tolerant and.
Hurt. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. She's not very tolerant, is she? Not of Krishna. That's her pastime with Krishna. I guess she's tolerant to everyone else. It's just like sometimes we hear the ladies, they're very peaceful and calm, but then when they're alone with their husband, oh. So it can be like that. See, I don't know. This is all between Krishna and Satyabhama. It's all, we hear some things about it, but it's between them. It's an interesting observation, huh? The earth is the symbol of tolerance. But Satyabhama, she couldn't tolerate when Radha got given one parijata flower. And then Krishna had to go and steal a whole tree of parijatas from the heavenly planets and fight with Indra just because Satyabhama was harassing him. See, so it's in the spiritual world also. That's why people like to go to Vaikuntha. It's more peaceful there. But I'm sure behind the scenes there's something going on between Lakshmi and Narayan. But you don't hear about it. Just like in Hindu culture, husband and wife, they may not get on, but it's between them, you don't hear about it. Only if you're a very intimate family member. It doesn't come out. But in Vrindavan, it's wild. The culture there is wild. Even today, if you go to Vrindavan, it's wild. If you go to Dwarka, it's very peaceful. People there are very peaceful culture. You go to Vrindavan, it's a wild place. So Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, they're very... that's what I was saying, that the movies, they have all these stories, action-packed stories. You won't get so many action-packed stories coming out of Dwarka. More in Vrindavan. In Dwarka sometimes that Shalva comes and attacks. But generally it's very peaceful. And even today in Dwarka, very peaceful. Very peaceful atmosphere. Vrindavan is a land of turmoil. But that's Krishna's very attractive pastimes. Mother Yashoda, she's always in anxiety. Because with Krishna, you never know what's... But that's there. Anyone has a little boy. You have to watch him all the time. Otherwise, chaos. That's why the babies, they used to have the bells, right? They put the bells. So if you can't watch them at every moment, at least you can hear them. And if you don't hear them, they're probably doing some mischief. When they become very quiet, then when the boys are shouting, that's normal. When they become quiet, then you know there's trouble. So it's all there in the spiritual world with Krishna. Mother Yashoda is always in anxiety. Sometimes Krishna gets carried up in the air by some whirlwind. Sometimes some big horse comes and attacks him. She's always in anxiety. But that anxiety is bliss. That strong feeling of love for Krishna. So anything else? Any other questions? No. All right then. So please speak about the books.